Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? I pray that you're tuned in and listening. I pray that you have the assurance in your heart that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. How can you be assured of that? It's to know that you know that you know that you have volitionally said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life because God has foreordained by what is called election. By the way, let me just touch on that a moment, Pastor. In the Old Testament, the elect of God's Israel. In the New Testament, the elect of God is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is referred to as the elect one, and we are his elect ones.
Amen.
So every Christian is the elect ones of Jesus Christ. God has not chosen a super category that he says are the elect ones as being selected over and above others to put them into heaven, and others will go to hell because they have no choice. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that's any more damaging and any more discouraging than to say that there's some that's saved and can't help it. There's some that's lost and can't do anything about it. And that's the double predestination that's found in Calvinism. John Calvin perpetuated that lie. It's being perpetuated today in many books and themes and theological journals, and it's absolutely incorrect. You can be saved or lost based on volitional choice, And that volitional choice means that we have the choice of saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
And if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, that is, you've said, Lord, I don't understand it. I cannot fathom all that you say in your word, but I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that I'm a sinner. I confess that I'm a sinner, and right now I turn from my sins, I repent of my sins, and I invite your Lord Jesus to come into my heart and save me. That's biblical salvation. That is a volitional choice, and it's not because God did it and we can do nothing about it. It's because you made a volitional choice.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, when we ask the question, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? It is God's recording, God's having written down before the foundation of the world, every human being that shall past, present, and future ever say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I want us to understand that and to recognize that.
Amen.
We're talking go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm very glad that you said that. And I'm so glad that the choice are not left up to men.
That's right.
Because if that was so, as the saying goes, the rich would live and the poor would die.
That's right.
Now, as you said, it was God's doing from the very first beginning. Mm-hmm. And men don't even have a privilege. They don't even have the honor to be able to look into that book and see whose names are written there.
That's right.
This is what I love about God. It shows his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get over to Ephesians chapter 1. to back up what you just got finished saying. Mm-hmm. God is the one that made the choice to do this from the foundation of the world because of his omniscience, his all-knowing knowledge. Everything he created in this world, he already knew was going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
So the way it's going right now, none of this is catching God by surprise.
He's not taken by surprise.
So when we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, just a few verses there, and I'm going to let you continue on. Verse 4 said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Getting back to what I said at the beginning of the broadcast, there's nothing so good that we have done that we deserve to be where we are. You didn't get saved because you wanted to be saved. It's a great thing that you made the choice, but Scripture lets us know no man can come unless the Father draws him.
Right.
So it's his will. It was his will in the first beginning, and he already knew, as you said earlier, who would make the choice to choose him on whatever particular day and time.
Yes.
So when we look at that, we go down to verse number 6. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. God is the one that made us, in other words, to be accepted, to be a part of this beloved kingdom that he's got coming, that he has prepared for his people. Now, I'm going to skip over to verse number 11 and 12, and I'll be finished. He said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Again, it's pointing back to God. Man don't have anything to do with this. And verse number 12 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Right there shows us we made a decision to trust in Christ. But again, God already knew that we would make that decision to trust in Christ. So then we ought to consider ourselves blessed.
Absolutely. In fact, as you studied the balance of the text, it is clear in verse 13, for example, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth,
amen,
the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
And it goes on. Because, Pastor, the fullness of the text, starting with verse 4 through verse 13, in the Greek text, after that you've heard the truth of the gospel and believed, then after we've heard the truth of the gospel and believed, we're predestined to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Romans chapter 8 validates that. So it's a volitional choice, ladies and gentlemen, but it's before the foundation of the world that God knew our choice, and therefore our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Every believer. Not non-believers, but every believer.
Amen.
Over and over and over again, the Scriptures tell us that we hear and we see the Word of God. We're encouraged and challenged and have the assurance that it's for believers.
Amen.
A lost person, it does not have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life does not include every name, and then as a person is lost. Listen, here's the picture. If all the names of everybody is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then as a person is lost, then his name is taken out. That means when a person dies without Christ, God says, ooh, boy, I sure wish I'd known that. And he has to mark the name out. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't happen that way.
Amen.
Who's in the Lamb's Book of Life? Philippians 4:3, Pastor. Let me read that and we'll talk about it. Philippians 4:3. The Apostle Paul speaking, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life.
Amen.
It is the validation there. The Apostle Paul is speaking of that. It is the validation that those that are laboring in the vineyard, those that are serving, are evidence that because they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that they've said yes to Christ as Savior, and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Pastor, would you read that for us? Revelation 3, 5.
Revelation 3 and 5.
He's speaking to the church at Sardis and the seven churches of the book of the Revelation. And
Amen.
What does he say there to the believers of the church at Sardis?
Amen. Says here, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And now there's some people that say that the name can be blotted out. No, that's not what it's saying. The Lord is saying there that because you're the overcomer, I want you to be assured. I want you to understand. I want you to recognize. I want you to be comforted with the fact that you have eternal security. I find that an encouraging, challenging verse. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Realize this may be a subject that you've not awakened each morning and say, let me study the Lamb's Book of Life. Realize this is a subject that multitudes might have questions about, and they've not known how to ask the questions. The lines are open. Love to hear your question, your comment, your interest and insight
Amen.
In this study of the Lamb's Book of Life. 831-0917. 831-0917. But Jesus is saying, remember, the Lord Jesus is writing to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation, and this happens to be the fifth church that he's writing to, and it's the church at Sardis. And the church at Sardis, he is saying there, verse 3 again, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. And then verse 5, he that overcometh, the same overcomes means keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Regardless of the falling down, regardless of the battles, regardless of the dark days, regardless of the difficulties, you keep on keeping on. He that is the keeping on, keep on one, if you will. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. By the way, that's a wonderful study. In fact, I've been doing a lot of study on that in that realm because of my manuscript on that place called heaven. And if you ask the question, how will we be dressed in heaven? There's numerous verses that talk about how we'll be dressed in heaven. We'll be
Amen.
Robed in white linen.
Amen.
We'll be riding on white horses. We'll be robed in white coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it's a fascinating
Amen.
Study just on that. But he that overcometh, he shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this as a reemphasis of that text. If we have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because the sovereign foreknowledge of God, knowing that we would say yes to him as Savior. And we have the absolute assurance that if we continue to keep on keeping on, there are a lot of people that say they're saved, 90 days, 60, 90 days, 180 days, a year, 2 years later, they drop out on God. They've never been saved. It's an impossibility to say that you're saved and then because of difficulties and dark days and devastation and events that are taking place, to then drop out on God. That means you've never been saved.
Amen.
You've never truly been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
Amen.
So Jesus is here assuring those in the church at Sardis, for those that are the overcomers, he will not erase, blot out the name from the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, I want to say on that after you said that, because the Lord gave me something on that this morning as I was thinking about this. And I hope and pray this will be some encouragement to someone out there.
Yes.
In order for us to be overcomers, the Lord let me know, you have to put your flesh on the cross.
That's right.
Praise God. You just got finished saying how we ought not to shrink back because of the troubles that we're going through in this world
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
My friend, if you do that, then you're not worthy to enter the kingdom.
That's right.
Praise God. I feel something right there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I'm telling you, I want you to be encouraged on the day. We're not trying to criticize anyone, and we're not trying to classify anyone.
That's right.
You already know how you stand with
Amen.
God.
Amen. That's right.
If your life
Amen.
Is weak right now, if you are giving up because of things that you see that are happening in this world, your heart is troubling you because the scripture said men's hearts will fail them because of fear.
That's right.
But don't let this fear, this stuff, this fear factor cause you to shrink back
Amen.
On God.
That's right.
Because when I went to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Just want to encourage
you. Yes.
It said, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." My friend, the only way that you're going to overcome, you're going to have to walk in the Spirit and crucify this flesh. Amen. Put it on the cross. That's amen. Right. Put right. that stuff to death amen. Today.
One writer said, Pastor, in relationship to that, an overcomer is one who is victorious over temptations, victorious over trials, victorious over evils in this world. In other words, it's one who is truly redeemed.
Amen. Amen.
The saved are written in God's registry and have the promise of eternal life.
Amen.
I don't know if anything could be any more encouraging than those few words. But, Pastor, turn, if you will, please, to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. It reemphasizes the very fact of the name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, reemphasizes who's there in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Revelation 21 and 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
I don't know if you can get any clearer than that. In context, it's talking about that place called heaven.
Amen. Amen.
And in context, it's talking about who's in heaven. And this talking about it in reverse sense. "And there shall in no wise enter into it," it's speaking of heaven, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
Amen.
In other words, a lost person will not be in heaven.
Amen.
A person that is a habitual liar will not be in heaven. A person that is involved in all kinds of abominable issues in moral degradation in life will not be in heaven.
Amen.
But only those, hear me, only those that have the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's do a throwback for just a moment. Whose name's in the Lamb's Book of Life? Those that have volitionally said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. How did they get there? Because of God's sovereign foreknowledge that the name's written down before the foundation of the world.
Amen. Amen.
Before God ever created this old universe, every person, based on God's sovereign foreknowledge, that will say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, past, present, and future, the name's already written down. And it is very, very clear that those are the only ones that will be in heaven. Those are the only ones that shall inherit eternal life.
Amen.
Those that have the names written down. But, Pastor, there's a final note that we want to talk about on this broadcast today. How will that book be used? How will God's Lamb's Book of Life be used? Turn, Pastor, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20, and read aloud for our listeners verses 11 through 15. Read, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is the Lamb's Book of Life. This segment we're talking about, the lost are judged out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen. Amen. And it says here, verse number 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire."
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got just a few minutes, but I want to go back and do some examination here because the scripture is very, very clear in verse 12. Pastor, I'll read again. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," that's plural, more than one,
at
least two books there.
Amen.
the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Amen.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, B-O-O-K-S. Mm-hmm.
That's three books.
According to their works.
Amen.
And then in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in the death and hell, that is death and the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. So,
amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There are three books that are open. Number one is the book of life. The book of life. And
amen.
In the context, it's the great white throne judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is they're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't be any saved person in that picture. All of them will be lost. They're trying to defend themselves, and the books are open. And it's not Jesus having to open the book. And this old spiritual of yesteryear, please search the books again to see if my name is written down. Jesus is not having to say, well, A, B, here. No, I don't find no, Adams is not here. No, Jim is not here. That's not what Jesus is doing. He's opening the book of life and showing the one that's standing before the throne in judgment that your name's not written down.
Amen.
You're not in
Amen.
The book of life. And the second book that is opened is the book of law. It is God's word showing how we should live,
Amen.
How the ones that are standing there, how they should have lived, and yet they didn't. Then the third book, I believe, is the book of living,
Amen.
Book of living, showing how they lived their lives, which was contrary to the book of the law, the word of God. And it's proving, proof positive, that that is the reason their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
It is, and therefore they are cast into hell, the scripture says. One writer said it this way. The great white throne judgment described in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, is a judgment for all unbelievers. That passage makes it clear that no one at the judgment has his name in the book of life. The fate of the ungodly is sealed forever. Their
Amen.
Names are not in the book of life, and therefore they are punished in that place called hell for all of eternity.
My, my.
Ladies and gentlemen, it should cause everyone under the sound of my voice to be concerned and should be asking the question, is my name written in the Lamb's
Amen.
Book of life?
Amen.
So the question, Pastor, is everybody should ask right now, is my name written in the Lamb's book of life? And perhaps some will say, well, how can I be assured of that? How can I make sure that my name's in the Lamb's book of life? How can I be comforted to know that my name is written down and it is unerasably written down? God doesn't have an eraser on the pencil as the name's written in. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way you can know that your name is in the Lamb's book of life is to make a volitional choice, a volitional decision to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That simply validates what Christ has already done in the Lamb's book of life if, in fact, you are truly blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
Amen.
There are a lot of people today, Pastor, that's in a lot of churches across all denominational lines that think that somehow, some way, their name's written down. They think that somehow, some way, that they're safe and secure. They think that somehow, some way, they're going to heaven. In fact, I've not talked with a person yet at any funeral that believes that dad or husband or son or brother or mother or wife or daughter that will say, well, I believe they're in hell. No, everybody believes that their loved one's in heaven
Amen.
When they die.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, just believing that does not affirm that, does not make that true. It is by knowing that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Just as this writer says, some people point to Revelation 3:5 as proof that a person can lose his salvation. However, the promise of Revelation 3:5 is clearly that the Lord will not erase the name.
Amen.
That he is he that is the overcomer. I will not blot him out of the book of life. An overcomer is one that is victorious over all temptations, trials, tribulations, and difficulties. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, are you in that category? Do you know that you know that you know that you know? Not denominationally true, not Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or any other denomination, but do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's book of life? You say, how can I be assured of that? By making a volitional choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and to make sure that your faith is placed firmly in Him and you're following Him. Pastor, what footnotes would you add to what we have talked about today?
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, everything has been well said, what you just got finished saying, but I'm so thankful and grateful to God. This is what makes me appreciate salvation the
Amen.
More.
Amen.
Because I know it's not anything I've done. Mm-hmm. It's by grace I am saved
Amen.
Through faith.
Amen.
Just like Ephesians said, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, so that no man can boast. We don't have a leg to stand on today. If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior on today, when you stand before him, you just read it in Revelation, what we just got finished reading, verses 11, amen, through 15 in the Revelation,
yes.
Chapter 20. We don't have a leg to stand on, because when he opens those books, Dr. Youngblood, everything written there are either going to condemn you, or they're going to allow you to be saved and enter into his kingdom. But right here in this particular place, these people that are standing at the great white throne judgment are telling me that those are the ones that have not accepted Christ.
They're all lost, lost, lost. Yes.
So now, guess what? Death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. But first, it had to give up all the dead that was there.
Mm-hmm.
Even those that were in the sea, mm-hmm. people that have drowned, bodies have never been found, even up to this point in time. They got to come back and give an account.
Yes. In fact, Pastor, if I could jump in, I tell people you can be, your body can be cremated.
Amen.
But at that point in time, if you're lost, God's going to bring that body back, and you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. Your body might have been cast out of the sea and eaten by the sharks, but that body's going to come back together.
It's got to come back.
And God's going to, through the Lord Jesus Christ, judge you. And that judgment is saying, look, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
I don't know any more awesome, any more solemn thought than to think that a person, and by the way, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 and following, it is an account of that picture that you see there. Men will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
I never knew you. I never had a personal experiential relationship with you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very serious issue to determine if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. If you have, you're validating what God's Word has said, what God has done before the foundation of the world, and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life based on his sovereign foreknowledge, not based on his predestinative choice. God has not predestined you to go to hell. God's not predestined you to go to heaven. God has predestined that we conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ once we've said yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Pastor, we got about 20 seconds. Share with us some words to our listeners before we close.
Amen. We just want you to be encouraged on the day by what you have heard, and we hope and pray that if you have not made that decision yet to accept Christ, please go ahead and do so right now. I mean, don't hesitate. Time is not as long as it has been. It's time for us to, amen, start living and serving God, because, amen, he's on his way coming back.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.